I'm Coach Jake, and I do want to tell you before I get into the sermon, Larry and I got to go to Blanca's restaurant. Marie joined us as well for lunch on Friday when it opened, and it's amazing. It was really, really good. They make the salsa, like, fresh for you, like, however you want it, with, like, the pesto and all of that, like, right in front of you. They pull this big card out. So if you want to support Blanca, it's awesome to see one of our family succeeding, you know, so I want to celebrate that. So, yeah. So let me lead us in prayer. God, I thank you that you are our Father, that you are a patient teacher. And I pray you would come and teach all of us right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to have a chance to read a really big chunk of Scripture. And it's a really interesting piece of Scripture. It answers a lot of amazing questions. It talks to us about what do you do when you're really angry at God? So it talks to us about a major reason people struggle and relapse. It even talks to us about whether God cares about animals or not. That's something I get asked every once in a while. And it shows in this awesome way a piece of who God is, and it also explains a verse that Jesus said that it's really hard to understand. So the chapter we're going to be looking at is the final chapter of the book of Jonah. If you have a Bible and want to turn there, we'll have it on the screen here in a second. Last week we covered the first three chapters of Jonah, and that's kind of the kids' Sunday school version of Jonah. You know, it's the basic story of this prophet, this guy who speaks and encourages other people to come to God. He gets told by God to go to Nineveh, this very cruel nation who had probably hurt Jonah's friends and family. And Jonah runs away from God, and there's a big fish involved, and Jonah hits rock bottom like we talked about last week. He cries out to God and asks, God, save me. I'll do whatever you want. So God saves him, and Jonah goes and speaks to Nineveh, and Nineveh repents. And if this was, you know, a third grade Sunday school class, I would hand out pictures of a whale, and you guys would color it in, and we'd be done, you know. So that's the classic story of Jonah. But if you look at Jonah in the Bible, it doesn't end at chapter 3. Chapter 3 ends with God's grace to Nineveh. Nineveh, this evil city, has changed. They've been humble. And God says, I'm going to be gracious, and I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. But chapter 4 picks up the rest of the story. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Jonah sees God's grace to this cruel nation, and he says, that is wrong. That's very wrong, and I'm mad about it. As we go through life, maybe you can relate with Jonah. Something's happened in your life, and you become very angry with God. So if you're angry with God, this is a story for you, and the very next phrase is going to be really the only thing that Jonah does this whole chapter that I would recommend imitating. Okay, so Jonah's going to do really one good thing this chapter, and that's about it. So pay attention. If you're angry, if you've got any sort of anger or maybe a negative emotion in your heart, what should you do with it? It says that Jonah prayed to the Lord, and we're going to read all of his prayer here in a minute. He prays a very angry, ticked off prayer to God. But the thing that's good about it is that he does go to God and talk with God honestly. God, this is what's really going on inside of me. This is how I feel. And he takes that to God. And God can work with that. We're going to look over this whole chapter. God can work with us as long as we'll come to him honestly. Okay, so Jonah comes, and you can almost, you can hear the tone of his voice. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish, or however you say that. So he's angry. He says, God, I knew you were going to do this. I know how you work, God. He's like pointing his finger at God. I knew if I came to this place, you were going to let them off the hook. They've done so many evil things, and I knew if I came and spoke to them that you were going to be gracious and forgive them. Now, this next part of this verse is a good example of why you don't just take one little tiny piece of scripture and then run with it. Because the next part of the verse sounds like it could almost fit into a worship song if you didn't know the context and the tone that Jonah is saying it, how sarcastic or angry he is when he says it. He says, I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. He's ticked about this. He says, a God who relents from sending calamity. So even though these sound like beautiful words, Jonah's mad as he says them. He says, I knew you, God. I knew that you would do this, that you would let them go. Here's how he sums it up. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He is like an 11-year-old girl that you've taken their cell phone away, and he's just, my life is over, and I just don't want to live anymore. That's how bad it is. So Jonah's a little bit dramatic here. And so when you look at Jonah, it's easy to say, okay, he's saying God's basically wrong. He's pointing his finger at God. He's angry. He's ticked at God. He's mocking God's grace. He's throwing a hissy fit as well at the end here. And you think, like, why should we pray like that? Well, the one good thing that Jonah's done here is he's taken all that bundle of mess that's inside of his heart, and he's taken it openly to God. And he's prayed and said, this is exactly how I feel. Now, I mentioned this passage is going to talk to us about how God is a good teacher. Here's the first thing God does to be a good teacher here in verse 4. It says, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? You know, God could have gotten out a flip chart and shown him a bunch of logical reasons why to be gracious. God could have just taken his big thumb and just squished Jonah and said, why are you complaining to me? And why are you talking? Why are you pointing your finger at me like I'm God? God shows a lot of respect to Jonah, maybe more than Jonah is due, and he talks to him and says, do you have any right to be angry? See, God's digging at the heart of what's going on inside of Jonah. He's saying, look inside your heart. Is there really any good reason to be angry right now? Now, that's a great question. I mean, obviously God asked it. But just like a lot of times when God tells us something that we don't really like, Jonah doesn't really pay attention to it. So look what Jonah does in the next verse. He doesn't respond. It says, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city of Nineveh. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. So this is about as good of a picture of bitterness as you could get. If Webster wanted to do an illustration of bitterness, they could put Jonah right here. What is Jonah doing? Jonah literally set up camp outside of town and said, I have nothing better to do with my whole life than to sit and watch and wait for these people to mess up and to fall on their face. I'm hoping so badly that they'll mess up and God will destroy them. So that's a picture of what bitterness does. If you let bitterness go too long, it'll steal everything else in your life, and it'll leave you where all you care about is hoping that that other person gets what you think they have coming to them. That's why bitterness is wrong. That's why Jesus tells us to forgive our enemies, because this is what bitterness does to you. It makes you even hate your own life. It makes you lose everything else just wanting that other person to suffer. So Jonah didn't listen to God, but remember, God is a very good teacher. He's also a very patient teacher. So he's already talked to Jonah. Jonah didn't listen. So God decides to go with an object lesson, okay? I've had to do some teaching in my past with kids and stuff, and it's much easier to tell somebody something than it is to pull off an object lesson, okay? It takes a special teacher to be willing to put in that much time. God's that type of teacher, okay? So it says, then the Lord God provided, we're going to come back to that word provided, a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. So Jonah's sitting out here, it's hot, he's just sitting there in a rage, just waiting for these people to get hurt because he's so bitter. What does God do? God provides a blessing. So God gives him something good. And Jonah gets really excited about this new trinket in his life, this new shade that he has in his life. So we saw just a moment ago, Jonah was ready to just die because he was so angry. And now, just a little bit later, he's on like cloud 9 just because he's got a shade tree. And we're going to see it doesn't take very long for him to get back down and say, I want to die. Now, if those emotional swings, if that relates to you in your life, of like, I hate my life, I'm so excited about some trinket, I hate my life, if you're on that type of roller coaster, like, honestly, like, you need to get some help. Like, that's not the way we're supposed to work as humans. there are, sometimes there's things, you know, bipolar is a real thing. Sometimes there's stuff going on that you could need help with. It also could be that you're so far away from God and a foundation in God that you're like a flag blowing in the wind. Like you just blow wherever the wind blows. So if there's a bad moment going on right now, then you want to die. If there's some nice new shade or some new electronic in your hand or whatever, then you're super excited. And then if something else doesn't go your way, then you're super upset. If your life is going all over the place like that, it means you don't have any foundation in your life. Okay. We can go on to this. Remember that word provide. So here we're going to go on to verse 7. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. Normally we think about God providing, we think about giving us something we like. Here God provides something to destroy the thing that God just gave to Jonah. Look what happens next. When the sun rose, God provided, again that word, a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. So again, Jonah's super upset. Now it's just upset that he's out in the sun. And he doesn't like it. So again, the emotions that Jonah's going through. But I want us to touch on this idea of provision. Normally when we pray and say, God bless me or God provide for me, we think about God doing things we like in our life, like the shade tree that Jonah got. I've never heard anybody say like, oh, God blessed me with my air conditioning breaking in my car. Or God provided for me by making my car break down on the way to work and so I had to go to work a whole different way. Or God provided for me by making the bus run really slow today. Or no one talks about negative hardships in their life and God's provision. But here we see that God's providing hard things in Jonah's life. Why is that a provision? Why does the Bible talk about it that way? It's because that's the thing that Jonah needs. A lot of times we want God to do things in our life to make our life easy. And sometimes God provides things for our life because we need a hard lesson. God already tried to just talk to Jonah, and Jonah didn't want to listen about it. So God's like, okay, now's the time for an object lesson, and it's going to be more painful. Sometimes in our life, we go through things, and God wants to teach us in the midst of something hard. Now, there's bad stuff that happens in your life. Nineveh probably did some really brutal stuff to Jonah, and that was the reason God wanted Nineveh to change. Some of you have been hurt by somebody else in your life, and that wasn't part of God's plan. That was somebody hurting you. And God wants that person to change. Other times you go through something through life and God wants you to learn through that hard thing. So let's look on about how God responds to Jonah saying, I want to die again. God comes back to the same question, but now he uses that object lesson. He says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah is not a very fast learner, though. So Jonah says, it is. It is right. He said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. I mean, Jonah is just a broken record on this of like, I hate everything, and I want to die. So this stubbornness that Jonah has, it makes you wonder, like, man, why is God still working on Jonah? Like, shouldn't God just move on? Think about your own life, though. And I think we know this is true about God, that God keeps trying to teach us even when we're really stubborn. So these last couple verses, it sums up the book of Jonah, and it's God's final response to Jonah. It says, but the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. So here the teacher kind of explains what that whole object lesson was about. What he's getting at is the heart of most of the time when we're angry at God, we're angry because something we expect, we didn't get. Something we feel like we have a right to, we didn't get. But think about the logic here. God says two things. You didn't tend it or make it grow. A lot of us will get angry about things that we feel like we deserve, but really, they were just given to us. Most of us here in the room were born here in America, and we have all sorts of things that we expect as rights that we would be super ticked if someone tried to stop us from getting them. And yet God can just say, but you didn't tend that. You didn't make that happen. You were just born into that. Now, some of you might say, no, you know, I'm really mad because something went bad at work and I worked 60 hours and they still treated me bad. You say, I did work hard at it. Well, that's the next part. You didn't make it grow. Because a farmer can tend a field, but nobody can make an orange. Or nobody can make kernels of corn. Like, God's the only one who makes life. And so even if you work really hard at something, God's the foundation of even the stuff you work at. God's the one who gives you a body that's able to work. God's the one who gives you a brain that's able to think. God's the one who gives you eyesight, gives you hearing. And so the foundation of anything we expect out of life or we think we have a right to, anything we have, it's always based on a gift from God. Like if you trace it to its source, God's the one who gave us anything good that we have. And so I'm not saying it's not normal to be angry at God at certain times in your life. I think that's a human thing that we go through. But it doesn't add up if you really look at it, if you really think through it. Like, we really don't have a right to be angry at God. Now, I'm not saying that it's not maybe an emotion you're feeling right now, just like Jonah felt it, and he had to express it and get through it with God. So the whole lesson here, though, it's not about plants. It's not about the shade. Let's get to the kind of the heart of what God was trying to teach Jonah. It's here in the last verse. Here, let me flip back. God says, and should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh? He said, you were really worried about this plant. God's saying, but shouldn't I be worried? Shouldn't I be concerned about this city? Here's how God describes Nineveh. He says, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their left hand from their, or their right hand from their left, and also many animals. That idea of can't tell their right from their left, God's saying these people are really, really ignorant of what's right. Have you ever met somebody who was cruel and did terrible things, and then someone came to them and told them, like, you shouldn't do that. God's upset with you. You should change. And that person heard that and listened and said, you're right. I've been living my life horribly wrong. I'm going to change. I mean, if you met somebody like that, don't you think that they should have a second chance? Like, if they really didn't understand, and then you tell them what's right, and they're like, yeah, you're right. I'll change. Because that's what Nineveh was like. Nineveh was a cruel, evil nation. But as soon as Jonah showed up and told them about God, we saw last week, they responded and they made changes. So God's saying, shouldn't I have mercy on all these people who, yeah, they've made mistakes, but they're willing to change. And that last little tidbit there, if you've ever been upset about an animal and felt like, I'm upset that this thing died, you know that God cares about animals too, right here. God doesn't overlook. I mean, that's mostly like cows and goats and pigs are the types of animals that were in Nineveh. And God's saying, like, I wouldn't just wipe them out without thinking about it. Okay, so talk through the book of Jonah. That's the end of the book of Jonah. Let me sum up something I think is really important about the book of Jonah. So if you just focus on the first three chapters, I think you could just as easily call it the book of Nineveh. Because the first three chapters, it leads up to this moment where a big city that was evil decides to turn to God. But when you focus in on the fourth chapter, you see the book as a whole, it's not so much the story about Nineveh. Like, that's a big deal. That's a lot of people turning to God. But I think the reason the book of Jonah is in the Bible is because of Jonah. God could have saved Nineveh in a million different ways. God could have gone to Nineveh himself and spoken to them. He could have spoken to somebody in Nineveh and had them talk for him. He could have sent an angel. He could have done anything. But God picked the one guy in the world who hated Nineveh so much that he would literally run away from God to not have to go there. He picked the one guy that hated Nineveh so much that when they actually changed their ways, that guy goes outside the city and camps out there to wait and see if they mess up. Like, who can't? And they get super ticked and wants to die because he had success in turning them around. So God picked maybe the person who hated Nineveh more than anybody in the whole world, and he picked that guy. Because here's the truth about Jonah. If Jonah were in our church right now, Jonah would be a really nice guy. We'd probably all like him. He'd speak for God, and we'd think he was great. He might lead stuff with the youth or something. He'd probably be great. But there in a corner, in a dirty little corner of his heart, he'd have this one people group far, far away across an ocean that he hated. And whenever they came up, that bitterness would come out. And we might all know Jonah and be like, Jonah's a great guy. You know, we're gonna do awesome stuff with Jonah. We're going to follow Jonah. But God sees that hatred in Jonah's heart, and he says, I've got to work on that piece of Jonah. And we see why. If you let that bitterness grow, it gets to the point in Jonah where it destroys everything. He doesn't even want to live anymore. A lot of us have sin in our life, and we think, oh, I can be a pretty good person, and it's okay that I still struggle with lust, or it's okay I still struggle with greed, and I don't really want to give God any money or give the poor any money. It's okay that I still struggle with my anger. It just happens at home. Nobody else knows except my spouse or something. When God sees you, though, he's willing to go to extreme lengths to root that out of you. God does so much throughout the whole story of the book of Jonah, and I think it's really to save Jonah, to stop Jonah from having this bitterness in his heart. I've got a picture here of a scalpel and a surgeon. So surgeons, I've never been in a surgery myself, but I mean, surgeons cut into you. They wound you. And why do they do that? It's because there's some sort of problem inside of your body that's worth cutting you open and ripping it out, okay? If you had some sort of cancer in your body, it might not show on the surface. You might be able to walk around and look healthy. But if a surgeon had a chance to cut that out of you, they would take it because they know that cancer is going to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to dominate your body. And pretty soon it's going to be all of you, and it's going to kill you. When God sees a little corner of sin in our life, he's willing to get the scalpel out. He's willing to cut into us. Nothing that happens in the book of Jonah is comfortable for Jonah, except for the plant. That's only there for like a day, and then God takes it away from him. It's uncomfortable, the surgery that God does on him. But he needs it. And if we want to follow God, there's going to come a time in our life when God says, okay, it's time for a surgery in your life. You might not be at rock bottom right now, but God knows that you need to make a change. A lot of people will be like Jonah in chapter 2, and they're at rock bottom, and they'll pray and say, God, save me, I'll do whatever you ask. And Jonah did it. Jonah went, and he talked the talk. He walked the walk and went to Nineveh and did everything. But inside his heart, his inside condition didn't get any better. Why do people relapse? I don't have that all figured out. But a lot of people, they get so far with God, and God saves them out of the belly of the beast, but then they don't really want to work on every corner in their life. They want to hold on to something. And at some point, God says, nope, I'm not going any further until you learn this lesson. Got a little analogy for us, try to drive this home. This is a lawnmower. It's not my specific lawnmower, but I bought a lawnmower off Craigslist a lot like this, okay? So I bought a lawnmower off Craigslist. It was really cheap, and so I bought it, even though the guy who was selling it to me, I mean, he's honest, at least he said it burned some oil. It made it sound like it wasn't that big a deal. Well, I get it home, start it up, and once it warms up, it starts burning a lot of oil, you know? So it's really putting out a cloud of smoke like this. My neighbors at our old rental house would come over and be like, have you thought about working on that lawnmower? Like, because just this big puff of smoke, you know, whenever I mow the yard. I said, oh, it just burns a little bit of oil. And it would burn enough to where, like, when I would be mowing my grass and kind of getting closer to the middle, I would have to change directions to get it blowing the other way so it wasn't clogging too much of a cloud for me. So it was just a lawnmower. It was off Craigslist. I got it really cheap. So honestly, like, I didn't think it was a big deal. If I was in this machine, though, and I saw smoke, I would think it was a big deal. And I would say, like, well, let's not just keep driving this thing around. You know, like, let's figure out what the smoke is. You know, this is an airplane. This is a big deal. A lot of us, we treat our lives like a lawnmower. Oh, yeah, you know, I've got some little problem. Maybe your problem is smoking. Actually, I wasn't specifically thinking about that. But maybe there's some little smoke in your life. You're thinking like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a problem, but it's not too big a deal. When God looks at us, he sees something a lot closer to this. Because, see, sin, it just keeps growing. Okay, it's either growing or it's dying. It's never just staying the same. And so if Jordan has a sin in his life right now, well, Jordan, God knows, is going to live forever, okay? Chris Weeks is going to live forever. Trinity is going to live forever. And so if you let that sin just hang out and grow inside of you, it's got to go. You can't stretch that out forever. and have a heavenly existence. It's got to get pulled out. There has to be a surgery. A lot of us, maybe we start with God and we're down in the pit. We're down so low you can't even see where we're at. And God pulls us out of that. But a lot of us say, I want to get about here. I want to be nice. I want people around me to like me. I want my boss to keep me on at work. I want to be able to have a family that's a success. Jesus says this phrase, he sets a different bar. Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, the whole chapter 5, 6, and 7, it sets the same bar. It says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God sets the bar for each one of us. He says, you need to be like me, perfect. And when we hear that, doesn't that just like cringe in your ears? You're like, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not perfect. I could never be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this isn't just some random verse. This is right out of Jesus' mouth. So when we hear that, we start to think, like, how does that even begin to work? The awesome thing about the Bible is it tells us these commands, like Jesus right here, but it also tells us stories about people and God. And the story of Jonah is a story about this verse. Jonah was a pretty good guy, but he wasn't perfect. And God put him on this crazy adventure with all sorts of problems because he was moving him in this direction. Jonah had one big flaw, bitterness. You might have a different flaw, but I bet everybody in this room's got at least one grimy sin in their life right now. And God is saying to you today, be perfect because I'm perfect, because I want a perfect relationship with you. And it can't happen if you've got this cancer in your soul that's just nibbling away and getting bigger and bigger inside of you. So here's my last picture for us today, if I can get there. So back to my lawnmower. I used that lawnmower for years, at least 3-4 years, and it smoked every time I used it. And I'd add oil to it every time I used it because the guy told me it burned oil, and I would check the dipstick every time I was getting ready to drive it, and it would actually be lower than this every time I check it. So I thought, yep, it's burning oil. So I'd add until it was full every time. Until about 6 months or so ago, and I thought, I don't like this lawnmower. I mean, it smokes all the time. I've had it for about 4 years. I've gotten my not very much money out of it, you know. I'm just going to see what happens if I stop adding oil to it, and we'll see if it seizes up or not, you know. Like, so I drive it around, or, you know, I mow the whole grass, doesn't make any noise, doesn't smoke at all, because I realized the problem at that point. I wish I would have realized it 4 years earlier. Like, the dipstick must have been messed up in some way, like it got bent or something, to where the dipstick's reading wrong. Like, I was adding oil to it every time I used it, and it was burning oil every time I use it, and then I'd add more because it said it was low. Here's the reality in our lives. A lot of us have a measurement, and it's wrong. We measure ourselves by, does my family approve of me? Do I think I'm a good guy? Does my boss like me? Do people around me say I'm a good person? Am I free from addiction? So we have these little measurements, and they're not maybe crazy out of left field. Like, this was measuring oil in my lawnmower. You might be measuring some real stuff in your life. Jesus is the real measurement. Jesus tells us in John 16 that he would send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would guide us and convict us to see who Jesus is, to see the mark we're supposed to live up to. Jesus wants each one of us to be perfect, and until we measure ourselves up against the Holy Spirit, we're not going to see what we really need to change. Please don't go away today and just pick your favorite thing you don't like about yourself and try to start working on that. Like, do what Jonah did. Jonah did one thing right in today's story. He took his real heart and prayed and opened it up to God. Take the real you and talk to God. God will put a spotlight on the thing to work on next. If we're honest, some of us have a laundry list of stuff to work on. But Jesus knows the right one to start with, okay? It's probably not the one you would pick. So take your heart today during the response time, the worship team's coming up, and say, Jesus, this is who I really am. This is the problems I see. What do you want me to do next? Jesus has something he wants you to work on today. And it's going to be different for Nick Stewart than it is for Auburn, okay? It's going to be different things, but each one of us have something to work on today, okay? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are our good teacher, that you are so patient with us, whether we're throwing a fit or whether we're hard of hearing, that you will keep teaching us. God, I pray today we would open up to you, and I pray you'd put a spotlight on the thing you want us to work on. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.